Our next agenda item is an update from the South Carolina Commission for the Blind. It's going to be given by the Commissioner of the South Carolina Commission for the Blind, Darlene Graham. Ms. Graham has been on the job for about, I guess, 9 months or so, and has done a good job. We do have a good partnership with the South Carolina Commission for the Blind. We partner with them, and we appreciate it with our successful transitions program here at the Federation Center with our assistive technology instruction, and also with Rocky Bonham with our Fall Senior Camp and the Older Blind Program. So we have a wonderful partnership with the South Carolina Commission for the Blind. Ms. Graham, we do have a resolution regarding the South Carolina Commission for the Blind, and I will ask if you may stay on a little bit after your comments so you can hear the resolution. We have not adopted it yet. That will be this afternoon, but I would like you to hear it. And remember, it's in the spirit of goodwill and cooperation, and we stand behind the South Carolina Commission for the Blind and do whatever we can to make it an agency that will provide quality services to the blind in this state. So without further ado, here is the Commissioner of the South Carolina Commission for the Blind, Darlene Graham.
So no one told you life was gonna be this way. Your job's a joke, you broke, your love life's been away. It's like you're always stuck in second gear. When it hasn't been your day, week, your month, or even your year. I'll be there for you.
Thank you. I really enjoyed that catchy little theme there, and I certainly need people here for me, so I appreciate that, and thank you for the introduction, and good morning to everyone. Thank you for having me today. I'm honored that you asked me to be on the agenda. So far, I've really enjoyed the information shared by both Mr. Bacon and Mr. Diggs. Over the past year, we've been really busy at the South Carolina Commission for the Blind. As he mentioned, I'm still fairly new. As most of you probably know, I started just last September. And while I've had a few challenges, to say the least, I have enjoyed most every minute of it. It is truly a privilege to be in a position to lead such a great agency. And I can promise everyone one thing. I will work really hard to make improvements and to continue to move our agency forward. Since I've been at the agency, I focused on several areas that I feel are important to the success of an agency. First, we have to make sure we follow our state and federal rules and regulations. We need to make sure all of our state and federal reports are accurate and submitted on time. Also, as a state agency, it's vital that we're good stewards of taxpayers' dollars. Secondly, and even more importantly, I emphasize the importance of providing quality services. After all, that's why we receive the taxpayers' dollars. That's why we exist as an agency. It's to provide the best services possible to our consumers. Next, I emphasize the importance of relationships. We need to make sure we build and maintain good relationships with community organizations, such as the NFB, state agencies, and state and federal officials to ensure we have the resources needed to serve our consumers. In addition to relationships with external stakeholders, I also emphasize the importance of maintaining positive working relationships. Having a team that works together to achieve our mission is extremely important. I can't emphasize that enough. Our goal is to have a diverse, inclusive team that brings creative ideas together in order to better serve our consumers. And last but not least, communication, both internal and external communication, is very important. We want to make sure we communicate to everyone in the community about all of the great services we have to offer. And we want to make sure we communicate internally so that all of our staff stay informed and are all on the same page. So what have we accomplished in these areas? Regarding state and federal rules and regulations, we have been reviewing our policies to make sure they're up to date, making sure we have internal controls in place, and that our contracts are in compliance. In addition, we've made some structural changes in our agency to ensure separation of duties exist where they need to. We have also filled several vacancies in our finance department to ensure our finances are processed in a timely manner. The senior management team and I have also done a thorough SWOT analysis of the agency that has helped us to develop an updated strategic plan that is almost finalized. So we're getting very close there. Regarding service delivery, I'm excited to report that even with the challenges of the pandemic, we have had a substantial increase in our successful employment outcomes in the VR program over the past year. Several of these outcomes were very impressive. Our consumers are going to work at places like Clemson University, Eaton Corporation, the County of Charleston, and the Department of Social Services, just to name a few. Some of the careers they're entering include team lead for student IT services, customer service representatives, automotive technicians, accounting services, nursing assistants, and legal assistants, again, just to name a few. As we move forward, I want our agency to focus on helping our consumers not only prepare for jobs, but true quality careers. Just the other day, I signed an agreement between us and Apprenticeship Carolina, where our Building Readiness for Individualized Development of Gainful Employment, that's a mouthful, or better known as our Bridge Program, will become a pre-apprenticeship training program that will provide a career path, keyword there, career path for consumers into employer-based registered apprenticeships or direct placement. The goal is to provide consumers with advanced skill sets that meet the specific needs of industries using a unique combination of structured learning with on-the-job training. So we're very excited about the opportunities it will bring to consumers. Another valuable partnership has allowed us to deliver our summer teen program despite the pandemic this year. We were able to have our summer program through a partnership with Successful Transitions. This not only helps strengthen our relationship with NFB's Successful Transitions, as I mentioned, maintaining relationships with external stakeholders is so very important, but the summer program provided important pre-employment transition services to the students we serve. It was held virtually for the first time ever this year due to COVID, and I think it was a great success. I sat in for the closing session of the program and was very impressed. In the session, some of the students said they were disappointed and skeptical at first when they learned the camp wasn't going to be in person, but then they went on to say that they were pleasantly surprised and had learned a lot, and importantly too, had a lot of fun. The closing ceremony actually went on for over 2 hours with students sharing their stories, their successes, their talent, and lots of laughter. So that was very exciting. We also held our senior spring program for senior citizens virtually this year. Of course, that was a first as well. Again, despite the fact that it was held remotely, everyone enjoyed it and it went very well. They had discussions on mobility training and enjoyed fun games. We also have another one planned in the fall, so we're really excited about that one, and we're sure that one will go well also. Faced with the challenge of the pandemic, we have continued to deliver most of our services virtually. Currently, our rehab center is offering consumer services remotely until we can hopefully decide on a time that's safe for our consumers to return. We have been and continue to monitor colleges and universities to see how they are opening their dorms. Unfortunately, that has not been extremely helpful because they're basically all over the board. Some are only offering classes virtually, some are postponing the opening, and some are offering a combination of virtual and in-person learning. So at this time, we've decided to wait until they open their dorms to see if they have an outbreak or an increase in COVID cases. So at this point, I estimate it may be the end of the year or even the beginning of next year before we can safely reopen the residential area. Of course, that could change. Things change on a dime these days. That's just an estimate for now. But again, our goal is to make sure we do it safely. Safely is the key word there. However, I do want to emphasize we're continuing to offer services remotely. We have increased the number of workshops from one day a week to 3 days a week, every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. And I've sat in on a couple of the workshops and was really impressed. Our workshops include topics in home management, O&M instruction, and we also have guest speakers. While I hope our consumers find these workshops helpful, I also hope these workshops serve to keep them engaged. I think it's very important to let our consumers know that during this stressful, challenging time, we're still there for them, and it's important to keep them connected to each other as well. In addition to the workshops, we're also providing one-on-one virtual services to individuals when needed. One-on-one virtual services are not only for the consumers in the rehab center, but are being offered for individuals in all of our programs. Again, we want to let our consumers know we're still here for them. We have also been sending BEP technicians to make repairs to licensed vendors' equipment when needed. It's very important they continue to operate their facilities. Also, to help improve our service delivery, we have focused on training for staff. A few months ago, we participated in a training cohort with George Washington University. Our agency was one of 10 in the U.S. chosen to participate in the VR one-on-one training. This online training is very beneficial to our counselors and other staff and emphasizes the changes that were enacted under the Workforce Innovation and Opportunity Act, which can be a little confusing. So I think that training has been very helpful. Now, lastly, I will mention our challenges with the pandemic and what it's meant for our agency. Unfortunately, one of the main things that we have been spending time on is related to COVID. It's just taken up a lot of our time, unfortunately. Initially in phase one, we had to develop and implement a telework plan and policy. We made sure most of our staff had laptops and phones so that they could continue to serve our consumers remotely. That was a challenge, but our IT department did a great job deploying all of that equipment. We have continued to follow the guidance of the governor and the Department of Administration. Under their instruction, we're currently in phase two of a three-phase safe return plan, which means we have most of our employees rotating back into the office. And when I say rotating, we have developed a team concept. So some individuals report to work Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, while others report to the office on Tuesday and Thursday, and then they switch days. This plan allows for employees to practice social distancing. We also have a checkpoint that all employees and everyone from the outside is required to go through. At this checkpoint, the individual's temperature is taken and they're asked a brief series of screening questions. In addition, we provide all employees with personal protective equipment such as masks, hand sanitizer, Clorox wipes, face shields, and goggles. And the equipment was provided to us for state employees by the Department of Administration. So that's very helpful. And again, we want to make sure all of our employees stay safe. During phase two, as I mentioned, we're offering services virtually as much as possible and offer face-to-face services when needed. We will continue to operate in phase two until instructed by the governor and DOA to move into phase three. Phase three is when operation will return to normal, with the exception of employees who might be high risk. Again, we can't wait until we return to normal. Until we can, we will continue to provide quality services both virtually and in person. Again, it's been a challenge, but I think given the time we had to prepare, our staff and our agency have done a really good job with this pandemic. And again, hopefully it'll be over sooner rather than later. But that's the update. And please let me know if you have any questions.
Graham, for that report. We're not going to take any questions, but if you might want to, I'll give out a phone number where someone did have a question, they could contact you or contact the agency.
Oh, absolutely. It's 803-898-8822.
Thank you very much. And as I said, if you could stay on the, with us just for a few minutes, we do have a resolution pertaining to the Commission for the Blind that we'd like to read at this time. As I said, it will be hopefully adopted this afternoon, but we'd like to hear for you to hear it right now. So Valerie, I'm going to ask Valerie Warrington, our resolution chairman, to come at this time to come forward and read it.
Okay, thank you all. And this is resolution 2020-01 regarding agencies for the blind. And it reads as follows. Whereas agencies for the blind are established to serve blind people, and whereas an essential part of the governing structure of an agency for the blind is to include processes, policies, and procedures that will ensure that the Agency for the Blind Administration comprehends the interests, needs, and aspirations of its constituency. And whereas the most logical representatives of the constituency of agencies that serve the blind are blind people who have shown an interest and commitment to engage in self-organization and are willing to be partners of agencies for the blind and advisors to them. Now, therefore, be it resolved by the National Federation of the Blind of South Carolina and convention assembled this 22nd day of August, 2020, that this organization call upon the South Carolina Commission for the Blind to adopt a governing structure that will assure partnership with the organized blind of this state by adopting a best practices governance pledge as follows. Our agency, the South Carolina Commission for the Blind, was created and exists to help blind people. We believe that those we serve should have a significant say in the help we give and supervising how we give it, and in seeing that we are most effectively using our resources to benefit them. We therefore pledge ourselves to the values and commitment that follows. We are managed by executives who are compensated for their work and are in turn managed by a board of commissioners. We believe that blind people must be a part of our management team at both of these levels. While their numbers may appear to be arbitrary, we know that without them, it is impossible to measure whether we are meeting our goal of significant involvement. We therefore pledge that this agency will have at least half of its management team be people who are blind and make the same commitment for the Board of Commissioners. So that this is more than an aspirational goal, we pledge to meet these numbers within 5 years and to maintain or better them going forward. We believe there is no better way to demonstrate our commitment to our constituency we serve than to have blind people as part of our managing structure. The agency's current operation and its goals for the future must involve those we serve, and we must, in fact and in appearance, be run and guided by blind people. Our commitment to those we serve and those who work with us is that every document we create will be accessible. We will strive to see that our presence on the World Wide Web is exemplary and that it serves to demonstrate that websites can be both visually attractive and completely usable using screen reading technology. Our commitment to accessibility will extend far beyond the written word. When we produce charts, graphs, and documents with pictures, we will use state-of-the-art technology to make these accessible for the blind. We further commit ourselves to working collaboratively on solutions that extend the power of this technology and to work collaboratively to develop new paradigms that will help blind people in going beyond the written word for meaningful communication. We value the feedback and active participation of our consumers in the development and implementation of the services we provide. We pledge to establish a committee consisting of consumers we serve. The members of the committee and the chairperson of the committee will be chosen by the consumers themselves, and the committee will meet monthly with agency executives.
All right, well, Commissioner Graham, we here in the Federation will be more than happy to work with you. We just feel that the blind, who else but the blind to work with other blind people and have the expertise in that field and so forth. So we will work with you and partner with you, and hopefully, you know, we can make this happen.
Yes, I certainly appreciate that. I look forward to reading over everything. I made some notes here, and I think there's definitely ways we can move forward to partner together. Absolutely. I love the idea of the committee. We've already started working towards making things more accessible. Steve Cook might can even speak to that. Our new communications director has been working with him on a lot of that. So that's one thing we feel very strongly about. I love the idea about the committee. We're also putting together a diversity and inclusion committee. So in addition to that, I love the idea of this one. You know, we would love to have more blind individuals working within our agency, especially on our leadership team. As y'all probably know, we currently have Zanera Wassup, who is the leader of our vocational rehabilitation program. She's a valuable asset to our team. And we would love to have more individuals join our leadership team. You know, when we hire, we look at qualified candidates. We're looking at our recruitment efforts. So if there's a way that we could partner with y'all to recruit more individuals who are blind to join our team and fill our vacancies, I would love for you to give me some ideas on how we can do that for sure.
Well, we would be glad to. And you know, we can make this happen. I think the folks who will benefit from it will be the blind consumers of the state. So,
absolutely.
President Koppel, this is Steve. You mind if I say a few lines?
Sure.
Darlene is correct, and I will give her kudos on this. I've written her an email about this in our work environment as well, and I'll say it publicly, since she and some of the most recent hires have come on board, and Mark, the new PR person, he and I have been working together tremendously before, as well as Luis, have been working together before information is sent out to the agency. They will send it to me and ask for my feedback using JAWS, whether it's a Adobe PDF file or links for the website. When our agency first started using Zoom, I got a call about that. They wanted me to evaluate that. And I just said, don't worry about Zoom. I know it's accessible. We've been using it for years. But as far as accessibility and communication, that has improved.
Awesome. That's great. Okay. Well, Commissioner Graham, we appreciate you being here. We invite you to stay with us. And and glad to have you. And running a little bit behind, so we're going to move on. But thank you so much for your presentation, and we look forward to working with you for many, many years.
Absolutely. Same. Thank you very much.